Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change. And again, it's a pleasure to welcome a series of outstanding guests this particular two-hour show. And calling us here, we're connected with Robert Seidel, who's in Las Vegas. How are you this morning, Robert?
I'm fantastic.
Great. Well, let me give a brief introduction. Robert has been a practicing attorney since 1977. He graduated from the University of California, Berkeley, with honors for academic excellence. And shortly after becoming a lawyer, he had a realization that caused him to see the world through new eyes. He came to an understanding the world has unlimited potential. And in fact, his new book called The Gateway, Discover the Power to Create an Outrageously Prosperous and Happy Life, will be our topic today, as well as I'm sure we'll touch on the fact that he has 10 years experience in radio, making me feel like a total rookie, of course. And his show is hosted then in Las Vegas. It's called The Dream Power Show. Robert is also an internationally published author, motivational speaker, and minister. And it's a real pleasure to have someone of your repertoire with us today, Robert.
Well, you know, you're very professional on how you introduced me. I'm going to have to remember that. I should hire you for this purpose.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Well, I'd like to know, just based on that introduction, what was that realization that caused you to see the world through new eyes?
Well, that is an excellent, excellent question. And probably, well, I'll do my best to try to explain it. You know, I had basically lived my life up to that time with a couple little windows of exceptions to this, but you know, kind of thinking of myself as a material being, a physical being in a physical world, which is, I think, how we're mostly raised here in the Western society. And we sort of get very attached to the idea that we're just bodies and that sort of thing. So what happened to me a couple of years after I got out of law school is that somehow a process occurred where it's as if the veil of that materiality was lifted out of my eyes. And the world, suddenly I realized, oh, my God, this is a completely spiritual world. I mean, it's 100% spiritual. And, of course, that is a huge shock to the human psyche. I think, to be honest with you, I think when that first happens to us, it can be very, very scary.
Yeah, absolutely, because you lose your footing. And, of course, this happened when you were in your 20s, as opposed to some people it happens when they're in their 60s.
That's an interesting thought. Well, it can happen at any age in a person's life. And you're right, you do lose your footing. And frankly, I think that's partly why some people resist spiritual awakening. It's because I had one spiritual teacher, she called it the mortal self. In other words, the part of us that thinks of ourselves as a physically limited being in time and space and all that, that is how it seems like, okay? I get that. But on the other hand, There comes a time when it's as if the spell, hypnotic spell that holds you to that limited view begins to lift. And when it lifts, you begin to recognize you're in an experience that far, far transcends your human intellect.
Isn't that beautiful? Well said. Now, having gone through that experience at a relatively young age and early in your career, you nonetheless have continued to pursue for 30 years the practice of law and dealt with, I can't imagine, anything but quite a swath of negative, difficult situations, right? So to be then gifted on this other side of your life with a different perspective of what the real game's all about, did you ever get at cross purposes or feel like you were having to be two beings at the same time?
Well, I guess a little bit of that, although the main thing is, well, the bottom line is, some people say it's a spiritual lawyer is an oxymoron, you know, an impossibility. believe me, I hear that so often that it's very common to me. As it turns out, most of my clients come to me, whether they realize it or not at first, that's what they end up liking about me.
Okay.
And so I've worked with people who've lost children, gone through painful divorces. I mean, I've had people standing in my house tell me they're going to commit suicide. And had to get on the suicide hotline I've basically heard almost every kind of story that you can imagine. And so what I am really is a healer in the context of being law, practicing law.
That is an interesting combination. I can't imagine there are too many of you on the planet. And lucky your clients are to find someone who can deal with really those deep inner struggles of dealing with a major change in their life, and landing then on such sure footing in the hands of a capital, spiritually driven person too.
Well, the people that come to me, I'm very humble in saying that I feel like every day God is, teaching me new things. So I don't really like to hold a position that I know more or have it all together, because I really don't feel that way. I think sometimes I've thought I have, but it's like as I go on farther in the spiritual path, it just gets to be a bigger universe for me.
That's right. Well, our listeners should know I'm speaking again with Robert Seidel, who's author of the book The Gateway, Discover the Power to Create an Outrageously Prosperous and Happy Life, that he's not just pulling upon conventional or unconventional wisdom from other successful healers and teachers, but you've come about a lot of your knowledge that you share with your readers through your own personal struggles, right? And how you've achieved and overcome tremendous obstacles in the mix of your life.
Well, yes, and I have to say, you do have a very pleasant voice. I could just sit here and listen to you. Maybe I could get you to read me bedtime stories before I go.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And that from someone who's a master of radio. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much. I don't like to say tremendous personal obstacles. I mean, the reason why I don't like to say that is I think everybody has their share.
Yeah, their share, right.
Maybe some people have a little more than others, but I think we are quite good at human beings to cover up our obstacles. It's a survival mechanism. We don't really want to show other people that we're, so we may be going through terrible trouble and somebody says, how are you? And we'll say, great. And that's okay. That's fine. That's innocent. But the bottom line in my life, yes, there's been times I've faced very great financial problems, went through a divorce. And so I've been through some of the same things that, a lot of other people have gone through. And it's in that process that it has kept reinventing me as a soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Your book, I should compliment indeed, and I encourage our writers to take a look at this book, is to realize that it's got a very practical closing in each chapter with a summary action plan and exercises. So being the engineer firstborn child that I am, I appreciated the fact I had some homework to do as I read it. But you asked some really provocative exercises that forces us to take pause. On the left side, think about what you've heard about money and success and be honest with your feelings. On the right side of the paper, write down what you now believe. And so in that way, forcing our minds to put this out on paper, and it's a way to then set the script and take action, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And I think what I tried to capture in my book, I had a dream for many, many years and before I wrote this book. And it was, what if I could write a book, if God would make me the gift of letting me write a book that would not only give people ideas, but it would somehow imbue people with a sense of optimism and happiness. And it's been very exciting for me, because I've had people tell me that, they read my book and suddenly they're just lifted up, and so I've had that happen a lot of times. So I feel like that the purpose of the book is twofold. It's one, to give people ideas, concrete ideas that are simple. But second, by just kind of reading the book, I find people will tell me they just feel in better spirits. So it's a combination, and both things are designed to happen for my book.
Well, and Lord knows at this point in time, with so many other negative, toxic things around us, to find that hook that's going to keep us lifted up, or the window that's going to open and bring the sunshine, it's really important right now. Well, tell me some of the reactions to your book then so far. Indeed, you've gotten that kind of response, I take it then, and people are saying, wow, has that caught you by surprise in some way?
I'm sorry, say that last thing. So I guess, what was the last thing you just said about surprise?
Well, has this caught you by surprise, how people have reacted to your book?
Well, I really, it's extraordinarily gratifying, I guess is the best way to put it. I can give you one example that is the type of thing that just thrills me. I was back in New York last spring for the American Booksellers Show, and I happened to go into this little Italian restaurant where the lady's been, owned the place for like 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
A very nice restaurant. And before I left, she was very nice to myself and my sons. They were there with me and gave us free brownie desserts and things like that because she knew one of my kids had just graduated. So I told her, you know what, I'm going to come back later and bring you one of my books. So I came and dropped a book off at the front desk. I did not actually see her. Now, I got a call back when I got back to Las Vegas. This lady was just raving. She goes, I've never read a book like this before. She goes, I stayed up till 3 in the morning in my restaurant to read your book. And I immediately sent it to my son, who's in medical school. So, you know, I don't know. For some reason, for some people, they read it, and it seems to immediately speak to their soul, their mind, or their spirit. So that makes me feel very thrilled. And that's my true hope for anybody who reads it, is that it helps save you from mistakes that I made and also protect you so they guide you into the path of success. That's really, the book's designed to protect people from failure and to guide them into success.
But I think you open up your books, though, by saying that the high road is not for one who does not have courage. So you're also challenging your reader to be prepared for a journey that's going to take them places they may never have gone before.
That, you're a very wise person, and that is a true statement, and it's still,
well, anyone who's in the state of transformation knows, or if you're really willing to go there, you're going to have to confront some stuff from your past, and in such a way, by the way, that this isn't necessarily mourning or grieving, but know how it can propel you in new ways.
Well, and it may be mourning and grieving, and
yeah, that's true.
You know, I heard it said many, many years ago, look, here's the thing, whoever we are, I don't care who it is. I mean, Jesus, when he was on the cross, he was going, oh, my God, what happened? I've been forsaken. Isn't that a famous quote attributed to him? The point is, we don't know in our lives what we're going to experience. Nobody does. Nobody on this earth. I think if it was all real, real simple, probably thousands of years ago, the world would have been totally transformed into the Garden of Eden again. But so to me, to surrender oneself to God completely, sometimes there is such a thing, I call it going through the dark night of the soul. And I think that's facing, like you say, things in your unconscious mind or even beyond that, perhaps, that can be very threatening to us. I don't necessarily recommend that to anybody, but it is something that conceivably any person can end up facing. And I think that's when you're talking. So it depends, I think, how deeply one wants to transform themselves.
That's right. The other side, though, throughout the course of your book, you constantly are reminding us of, you know, great words like you are your own soulmate, and that really needs to start with that kind of belief and support for your own capability.
Yes, I want to say one thing. The way I designed this book was I had one very clear intention. I thought to myself, I want a book that if you can open it to any page and there's only going to be positive stuff in there, no matter what. Like I'm just opening to a page in here and it says, success is seeing opportunity where others see limitation.
You bet, yep.
And so, you know, it's things like that. It's recognizing that, you know, we have to be willing to see opportunity in a world. Sometimes we see opportunity in a world that sometimes doesn't appear to have opportunity. You know, we look in the world right today, and I don't know about you. What about you? How does the world seem to you?
Oh, I see. It's just wide open with opportunity. In fact, I made the decision to start my own business right when the economy was going down. And all my friends were saying, are you nuts to leave secure corporate America job? And I said, well, you know, my feeling is if you're going to start your own business, they tell me it takes 2 or 3 years to straighten it out, you know, figure it out anyways. So why not do it in a down economy before things start lifting back up again? Right. So I think to your point is I don't view the world as one with obstacles. I see them as signposts to go in a different direction.
Well, I mean, that's a very, very, very enlightened attitude you've got.
Doesn't come without having tripped up a number of ways, of course.
I was going to say, sometimes it all just kind of depends what I've discovered in my life. Look, I'm 58 now. So, you know, it depends what the particular thing is that where a roadblock comes,
yeah.
Sometimes it's easy to say, oh, okay, I'm just being guided a different way. Now, let's say there's somebody that you love on the other side of that roadblock and you're feeling like, you know, could be a marriage ending or something like that. Then it can be much, much more difficult to sort of peacefully say, oh, yes, this is God's will.
Right.
You
know, yeah, so on his time, not mine.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, in fact, let me go with that word about time. One chapter that I got into there near your close of your book, it even challenges that you have all the time in the world. Now, I know anyone that would hear this will say, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, that's the one thing I don't have enough of, can't buy, and nobody can give me is time. So explain what you meant by that chapter in particular to kind of entice our listeners to indeed go out and get your lovely book.
You want to know something? There's a lot of sections. There's sections in my book that are what I call stretches. You know, mm-hmm. that stretch our consciousness. It's like Einstein. You know, he was introducing some very, very profound and transforming concepts, wasn't he? And we couldn't really understand with our logical mind, wouldn't you say?
Correct. Absolutely.
I mean, he talked about the fact that, you know, you could travel faster than the speed of time, speed of light, excuse me. You might actually be able to go back in time. Funny things, and I say funny things that we can't understand. So what I feel is that we're in a world, no matter how much we think we understand it, we don't. And I think that's the first step to all enlightenment, is grasping that what you see through your five senses is only a tiny fraction of the reality of existence. And at least for me, that is the real, that's the doorway. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have some sort of an insight to get to that place. But then that insight then opens a lot of other possibilities. Now, the issue about time, you know, what if you had, it sometimes takes courage. And I don't always succeed at these things, you know. I just want to, you know, it's for me. I look at my book every day. It's a direction for me. You know, it's the way you said I graduated with honors from law school. Well, I did notes, and I did very good summarizations of notes, and then I studied them. Well, that's the same thing I do with this book. The book was written in a very clear state of awareness, and so I reference back to it to keep myself on focus. And by the way, I want to say something to your listeners. If you ever get on an airplane and head for Hawaii, what you're going to discover is about 98% of the time, or you won't know this, but 98% of the time the airplane is off course. Did you know that about that?
No, I did not.
Okay, 98% of the time it's off course. Now, that's because they're looking for a tiny dot in the middle of the ocean.
Good point.
And they're traveling over thousands of miles. So that if they were off by 1 degree or so, they would miss it by hundreds of miles.
Mm-hmm.
So what it is they have this autopilot that just keeps bringing them back all the time. You know, back. Well, that's what we have to do in our lives too. And we have to understand it's absolutely innocent to get off course. So if somebody's out
and it's the human condition, by the way, is what
exactly.
You're saying. It's the human condition to do it. It's going to happen.
Right. And if we don't understand it's innocent, then we're always going to be condemning ourselves and we're subject to condemnation. And that's not the purpose. I truly believe it. I want to leave this thought also for your listeners. It's never God's will for any human being to live under the spirit of condemnation, ever.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how stupid you think the thing was you did 5 minutes ago, you still is not God's will for you to live under condemnation. And it's a very hard thing to break the habit of condemnation. And it's pervasive in our world. It's the blame game, I call it. But the bottom line is, if we could learn to see ourselves as innocent, doing our best at every moment, then we can grow forward in a much better future.
Beautifully put. Robert, you said early on, I caught that piqued my interest, the fact that you said you've been carrying this book around in your head for quite some time. And here recently it's come to the pages. Was there something that triggered you finally to indeed put the power to the pen?
Well, I knew that I wanted to. It actually has taken a couple cycles. I had a strong inspiration to write the book. And actually, I heard a couple of different things. I heard Zig Ziglar once say, you should write a book, if nothing else, because it's good for you to do that. And then the other thing is, so I wrote this book. I actually first wrote the vast majority of it about 10 years ago. I self-published it. Then at that point, some kind of changes happened in my life, and that issuance got out of stock. And then somebody came to me about 3 years ago and said, look, you've got to get your book back in print again. It's a very important book. And it was somebody I shared some spiritual experiences with, and she said, I want your firm commitment. Are you going to do this or not?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought very, very deeply about it because I wanted to keep my word. I said, okay, I'm going to give you my word. I'm going to republish this book. So then I self-published it again and cleaned it up a whole level more from where it was before, and my wonderful son helped me do a lot of that. Then I submitted it to different companies, and the company I'm with right now picked it up, and I worked with them, and it's now been published and is distributed nationally. So it was a multiple-step process.
Multiple-step process, yeah. But I think also you mentioned in the course of your book, too, that navigating through life successful means to remind ourselves we're not alone and to look for those kind of partners, whether it be your son or your colleague who said you really needed to publish it again. Well, I had one question for you, too, that might be a nice way to wrap up the story of your book, of course. I'm one of those that really reads the books cover to cover, so I'm really looking at the index and also the bibliography and so on. And lo and behold, in the back of the book, you not only give us the opportunity to read testimonials of your book from your growing fan club, but boy, the tribute from the Seidel family. And the fact that the first one, if I could read it to our reader, our listeners, over many years in many fascinating locations, it's been my privilege to attend Bob's seminars. They have served as a focal point, stimulating my curiosity and my enthusiasm. They have made the future more promising, the present easier to live with. And lo and behold, it's Chester M. Seidel, your father, who is at 92, traveled in Antarctica, and he turned 97 last year, to get a testimonial from your dad. That is just a lovely, lovely opportunity.
Well, you know something? I just saw him today, as a matter of fact. He's 97, and you know what? He's a wonderful person, and it's not easy to be 97. What could I say? You know, on the other hand, he's doing it real, real well. And I have two good friends. He lives in his own home, and I've arranged to have two of my good friends come in and take care of him. One person and drives him around and everything. But he still walks. He still gets around. And but he can't drive anymore. He drove up to a year and a half ago, believe it or not. Yes, those testimonials were very important for me to put in there because I wanted my family to know how much I appreciated them.
And exactly, and how they've taken you forward. Well, Robert Seidel, the things you've done in your life with being a successful attorney and counselor for people in troubling times, a multiple time now published author of a piece that's grown in its own way, what's the future hold for you? Any predictions?
You know, that is a wonderful, wonderful question. You know, I think I'm becoming humble enough to say that I have to leave that in God's hands. I'm going to keep sharing this book. I'm still practicing law. And I still have four children, two of which are still at home. And, in fact, the other one's just the first year of college. So I'm still very involved in raising my family. And I'm just taking everything one day at a time. You know what? Surrendering to that infinite intelligence that I believe knows vastly more about what's best for me than I do.
Absolutely.
I don't think I really know how to really steer my life. I think I can surrender to God and let God guide me. And that's my journey.
Yep, and to not have to be in control. Well, congratulations for your effort here again for our listeners. Robert Seidel, his book, The Gateway, Discover the Power to Create an Outrageously Prosperous and Happy Life. You can learn about his work at thegatewaybook.com, as well as his radio show, dreampowershow.com. Thanks a lot, Robert, and I have a hunch our paths are going to continue to cross in the future.
Yes, maybe I can interview you on my show one of these days.
It's a deal. We'll do it. Thanks for joining us.
I wish you and your listeners the best.
God Thank you very much. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.